Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 32 in your spiral gospel hymns hymnal, number 32, In Christ We Are Free. Let's all stand together.
John chapter 5 and verse 31, I'm sorry. The Lord speaking said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. According to the law, you had to have two or more witnesses to swear to anything and make it right. If I witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, because the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Verse 39, ye search the scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify or witness of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Father, we come before you tonight, Father, seeking a blessing and comfort, Father, to see what the scriptures witness, what they testify about Christ, Father. We need to learn more about Christ. We need to be comforted, Father. We need to be shown the way. We need hope, Father, and faith. We'd ask, Father, you'd be with Greg as he's away, and Trish, and you'd strengthen them, Father, and give them some rest, Father, and bring him back to a Sunday that, that he might continue to preach the gospel to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 17 in the hardback hymnal, Come Thou Fount, number 17. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Please be seated.
We all know that the scriptures point to Christ, that they are a witness that he is who he says he was, that he's able to do the things he says he can do. And there's another thing beside a witness that we need to keep in mind. In Matthew 11:28, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek of heart and lowly in spirit, and I will give you rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Naturally, the burden is light because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken all of the load and we don't have anything left to do. He has finished the work of salvation. It's all done for us. So we need to keep these two things in mind. We need to see what the scripture witnesses about Christ, and we need to learn of him. Now, any person that's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God wants to learn as much as they can about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our only hope. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He is the one who paid the price for our sins. He's the most important thing in our lives, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Verse 21, Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, and he's speaking to the woman now, but he answered and said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the puppies eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So what bears witness in verse 21? What would bear witness to Christ? Well, for 4,000 years, probably a little over 4,000 years before this, God made a promise in the garden. He didn't just promise it to Adam and Eve. He promised it to each and every one of us, to every child of God. This promise of God is, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So for 4,000 years until this occurred, people have looked for the coming of the seed of the woman. Enoch, that walked with God, he most certainly had to believe in Jesus Christ, the seed, for God to take him up into heaven to translate him. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Noah and Shem believed that there was another coming that was going to save them from their sin, and that the ark that God had them build was a type of this coming seed. These people were not a bunch of ignorant cave people. They knew as much or more about God than we will ever know. David knew that there was one coming that would lead him beside the still waters and restore his soul. Moses knew that there was a prophet like unto him that was coming, that in him should the Gentiles trust. All of these things lead up to the coming of Christ, and there he is. He's walking to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He's here. He was right there at that time. The seed of the woman had come down to this earth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, And the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. And it's come to pass. All the promises, all the prophecy that God had made concerning the seed has come to pass. He's already there. John said in John chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory as of the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. It's already come to pass. The Scriptures witness to his coming, and the Scriptures witness to him being here. Now, all of them looked for the Messiah that was to come, and we still do too. I'm waiting for the clouds to part and the Son of God to appear in the air, and I'm going to rise to meet him in the air. And so shall I ever be with the Lord. Scripture says that in the fullness of time, when it was the right time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We can't redeem ourselves. There's no way. Greg talks about trying to atone for your own sin. It's an impossibility. And Scripture even gives us a witness for one reason why he did it. Scripture tells us most things about Christ that we need to know. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 it says this. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise also took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's one of the reasons the Lord came. So we would not be afraid to die. Because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's one of the reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ came. So there he is, walking toward the coast of Tyre and Sidon in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, Israel at that time and the world today is full of mothers with sick children. Sometimes the doctors can help, sometimes they can't. This lady knew where to go. She come to the right place, didn't she? Because Scripture's witness that Christ is the great physician. You're not going to get healing from anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. There is healing in the atonement. Now, I want to make one thing real clear, that all healing comes from God. I don't care if you're saved or lost or who you are. If you get hurt and you heal up, God did it. All healing comes from God. But there's a problem with that. 71 or maybe 72 years ago, there was an accident and I lost my left eye. That's traumatic and painful for a kid that age. But God healed me and enabled me to get over it. That's physical healing. If I told you of all the times that I've been hurt and close to death, you'd think I was lying to you. Cancer 8, maybe 9 years ago, God healed me. Right after that, about a year and a half, blood clots in both lungs, God healed me. Right after that, was, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, was a heart attack. And God is in the process of healing me right now. But the problem with that is that physical healing is temporary. When I die, all that healing is going to the grave with me. The healing it's talking about in Isaiah chapter 53 is a spiritual healing. It's never, never, never going to go away. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, dead in sins, hath quickened me together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and raised me up to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. That's the kind of healing that the Lord Jesus Christ bought for us. Even when we were dead in sins, God still brought us to life. He gave us new eyes, new heart, new ears, new mouth. We were a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the healing that the children of God have. That's the healing that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for us. That's the healing that's never going to end. We're not just sick, we're dead. Before God calls us, we are dead in trespasses and sin. We have no will, no way to save ourselves, nothing. And yet when God comes and borns us again and gives us the eyes to see, we're alive. We're healed of our sin. We don't worry about these things anymore. We're able to fellowship with other children of God. We're able to enter the throne of grace with boldness because Christ has made us holy and without blame before the foundation of the world. He's done all of these things for us. By His stripes we are healed. He is the great physician. Malachi chapter 4 says that the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, the brightest light that ever was, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall rise with healing in His wings. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and opens your eyes to the gospel, you don't have any more worries. All of this temporary healing don't amount to nothing because we're interested in the real healing. We're interested in being with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this woman came to the right place, didn't she? But there's a problem here in this respect. This lady's a Gentile. She is one of the dogs. She's one that the Jewish people were not even sure that she had a soul. And yet she's a daughter of God. It's unmistakable. Unmistakable. The Lord Jesus Christ certainly knew who she was. He had seen her and written her name in the book of life before the foundation of the world. And she knew who He was because she called Him Lord. She also called Him the Son of David. She went to Him for mercy, for grace to help in time of need. Now, we're all well aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ said that everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And He went on to say that there'd be many in that day that would say, Lord, have we not preached in Your name? Have we not committed miracles in Your name? Have we done many mighty and wonderful works in Your name? And He said, I'll tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And yet the Scripture says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what's the difference in how we call Him Lord and how they call Him Lord? And have I ever called the Lord Jesus Christ Lord like I should have? How do I know that I believe in Him the proper way? There are two things that you have to take into consideration. One is this. Scripture says that no man can say Jesus is accursed by the power of God in Corinthians. And it also says no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That means the first thing that has to happen, you have to know who Jesus is. You have to know that He's the virgin-born Son of God. You have to know that he led his whole life doing the will of the Father for my sake. You have to know that he was bruised for our afflictions. He was beaten and spit on and nailed to a cross. You have to know these things. You have to learn of him. And you also have to know that all of these things were done on our behalf. He hath borne our sins in his own body on the tree, knowing that we don't have the ability, the authority, the will, or anything to bear our own sins. He did this for us. And we need to know that he paid the ultimate price for my soul. He accepted me before the foundation of the world, put me in him. I went into union with the Lord Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But I cannot even imagine the price that he paid for my soul. They took him and nailed him to a wooden cross and raised him up between heaven and earth and made fun of him and left him there to die. But that was not the worst thing. That was not the supreme price. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, Lama, Lama, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was when God made him to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I cannot imagine being separated from God. But he had to go through that to save my soul. I have to know who Christ is to be able to call him Lord in the way that I should. I have to be able to do that. The second thing is this. I have to know who I am. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ through born-again eyes, you'll know who we are. Whenever God opens our minds and our hearts to the fact that we were born a sinner, we lived a sinner, and we'll die as a sinner. When God tells us who we really are, then we'll know who the Lord is. We'll be like Job. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee, and I hate myself. If you're a child of God, the things you want to do, you can't seem to do them. The things you don't want to do, you catch yourself doing them anyway. And you can say with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then, when you stand there and smite yourself on the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, then you'll call him Lord, because you'll know who you are. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I doubt any of us will ever see that. The day is past when that came and that happened. But what did Isaiah say? I said, woe is me. Can you imagine standing in the presence of God in this body? Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When God shows us that we're a sinner, we will cry out, Lord, help me. Don't let some little two-bit shirt-tail free will preacher ever get away with telling you that you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I haven't seen a bumper sticker like that in a while, but they used to be on the back bumper of every Christian's car, big old bumper sticker. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. We can't make Jesus do nothing. He's either Lord or He's not. He's either the God over all or He's a liar. We have no control over our lives anyway. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. The number one preacher in the world said this. Ask me after the service and I'll tell you his name. He said, God the Father does everything He can to save you. And God the Son died for your sins and wants you to believe on Him. And God the Holy Spirit does everything in His power to draw you. But you have the last word. We don't have the last word about nothing. We don't have the last word about how our children will turn out. We don't have the last word about whether our wife or husband will stay with us or leave us. We don't have the last word about going home after work alive. We don't have the last word about cancer. We don't have the last word about when we'll die. What makes Him think that we'll have the last word about something as important as eternal life? I would not serve a God that allowed me to make a decision whether I wanted to be saved or not. He's either God or He's not. And once God opens our eyes to that, we'll turn to Christ and we'll call Him Lord. We definitely will. Now there's another witness here about the Lord Jesus Christ with this woman because she's a Gentile. You got 12 disciples here, 11 of them are children of God, one of them's not. And this woman is a child of God. So what does that witness about Christ? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He's a sin bearer for 11 hard-hearted Jewish disciples. He's also a sin bearer for a Canaanite woman. He was a sin bearer for a Jewish zealot named Saul of Tarsus. But he was also a sin bearer for a Roman centurion called Cornelius. He was a sin bearer for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but he was also a sin bearer for the Ethiopian eunuch. When that veil was rent in the temple from the top to the bottom, access was granted into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to go in there once a year anymore with a priest with a rope tied around him in case God kills him and drag the body out. We have grace to help in time of need because we have total access to the throne of grace. All of us do. Now, this was a different time than any we can ever imagine. This was a transition period from the children of Israel into the gospel being given to the whole world. There were things that happened here that we can't really account for. There are questions here we can't really answer. 7 years after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, Peter had a vision. Big sheet let down from heaven, tied at the four corners, full of animals. And Peter was absolutely starving to death. And the Lord said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Not so, Lord. No, 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 no. Nothing common or unclean has ever passed my lips." 3 times this occurred. And finally the Lord told him, "What God has called clean, you don't call unclean." They almost had to take a whip and drive him down to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. This is when it's going from the nation of Israel into the world. This same apostle, whenever he was with Paul at the Gentile church, he ate with the Gentile. Boy, they had a good time, fellowship and everything else. But when certain from James came from Jerusalem, he withdrew himself and wouldn't have anything to do with it. And Paul said, "I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed." And yet this same Paul took part in a Jewish ritual, and the Lord caused a riot to get him out of it. These people, the Jewish people, were the guardians of the Scripture. And because God had chosen them out of all the world to be this guardian, instead of being thankful and grateful that God had blessed them with the Scriptures, they got proud and mean. And the disciples told the Lord, "Get rid of this woman. She's driving us crazy. She's driving us up the wall with her begging and pleading." But those days are over forever, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But at this time, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us this about the Gentiles, that they were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had no hope, and they were without God in the world. But, verse 13, remember what Greg said about when God says, "But," something good's going to happen. "But by the blood of Jesus Christ, ye who sometime were afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." We're all the same anymore. No Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free. We're all in the same hole together. We come into this world lost, and unless God works a miracle in our lives, we'll stay lost. But there is no more Jew and no more Gentile. There's only the saved and the unsaved. It's hard sometimes for us to read these scriptures and understand them unless we know this. Several times in a scripture, they've run the Gentiles off. They didn't want to go there. Jonah didn't want to go to the Gentiles in Nineveh. He ran away the other way from God. They had enmity against the Gentiles that we cannot imagine. And it's here. It's here. But the Lord Jesus Christ never did anything lightly. And the conversation he has with this woman is to teach us something. Not the lady. We're going to learn some things here that we would not have learned unless the Lord had brought this to come to pass. And he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," speaking to the woman. Now, we have to understand, like I said, that God had separated these people from the rest of the world to be guardians of the Scripture was one reason. And they were the oldest son. They're the ones that bore the heat of the day. They're the ones that took all the enmity because they had the Word of God and they wouldn't compromise it for a long time. The Gentiles were the prodigal son. They went off and had a ball and wasted all their money on wine and women and come dragging back. The Jewish people were owed an obligation and a way to get the gospel first, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But that's all been taken care of. It's all been put away in 70 AD. That was the end of that. And now we are the circumcision. We're the Jew. We're the child of Abraham who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, Philippians 3:3. So there's no Jew and Gentile left. There's only the saved and the unsaved. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," that's a witness that that's one more promise that he kept. He went first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when the fullness of time came, he sent the gospel to the Gentiles. He is faithful and true. The Lord Jesus Christ will do everything He said He would. Verse 24. But he answered and said unto her, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, or it's not fit, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the puppies eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That's the answer that this whole thing was about right there. Because the day is gone. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself up to the cross to die for our sins. The day is gone when we've got to feed on the crumbs that fall off of the table of Moses' law. We have a place at the table. We're going to sit down and eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord has prepared us a table in the presence of our enemies. We are in Christ. We're right up there at the head of the table. We don't have to depend on anybody giving us anything about the gospel. It's open to all of us. And we don't have to do anything to get this. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ underwent a curse so we didn't have to. When the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross, it is finished, it was finished. And we don't have to do anything. We don't have to make Him the Lord of our lives. We don't have to worry about not doing any of the Ten Commandments. All we got to worry about is praying to God and doing what the Scriptures say. If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's not such a big job, is it? Not if you've been born again. Not if you've been given the will to call Him Lord. Not if you've been given the knowledge that God did raise Him from the dead. Not if you know that He's just the firstborn from the dead. We're following after. We don't have to do anything. Christ did it all. And once you know these things, then you are more than willing to kneel to Christ. You're more than willing to call Him Lord. It's the most wonderful feeling in the world to know that Christ has compassion on me for my weaknesses and the stupid things that I do and say sometimes. That's the most wonderful thing in the world. I don't have to worry about falling from grace because He paid the price for me. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your mind, which belong to God. I don't have any worries. I can sit here and listen to Greg preach, and I can say amen to everything I've ever heard Greg say. I can get up and shake hands with everybody, give them all a big hug, and I am happy. To me, that's living. To me, that's what all of this is about, to know the Lord and to rejoice in our salvation. That's it. That's it. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I don't remember anywhere in the Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ gave a short answer to a woman. He was always respectful. He never said anything mean to them. Never ran them down. It seems like that women have a special place in the Scriptures. They really do. They really do. Read through this. You see, some of these women are spectacular. Abigail was. Mary was. Martha was. This woman was. No telling how far she came to beg Christ to heal her daughter. The woman that sought in her inner self, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Women seemed to have all the faith and men had all the smart answers. But this lady had faith. She really did. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. And the thing about it is this. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God gives more faith to some people than he does others. He gives us more faith sometimes than he does others. The Lord could just as well have said, O woman, great is your gift from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which was before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't have a worry in the world. Our lives were planned out for us. All of our tribulations were planned out. All of our sicknesses, all of these things were foreordained before the foundation of the world. And God will bring our lives to the right conclusion. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning of the world. Don't never think that Christ didn't know who this lady was. Don't never think that he didn't know what the disciples were going to say. This is the Lord of glory that we're talking about here. This is the one that created the world. This is the one that could have called 12 legions of angels when he was on the cross and made this earth into a waste howling wilderness. This is our friend, our elder brother, our Savior. We are in union with him, and nothing can ever fall on us that'll change that. Nothing. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If we can read the Scriptures and see the witness to the work of Christ, to the glory of Christ, to the forgiveness of Christ, and we can learn these things by the power of the Holy Spirit, then this Word will not return unto God void, but it will accomplish that for which He purposed it. Father, we would ask that you'd increase our faith, Father. You would keep our eyes upon Jesus, Father, that we'd have the grace to cast aside every weight, Father, and a sin which does so easily beset us. Give us the grace to run the race that is set before us with patience. Give us the faith and the grace, Father, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.